You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Troy Nunes is an Absolute Podcast. I'm your host, as always, John Casola. With me today is Dan Lyons.
Hello, everyone. Happy March. This is March.
This is March, last I checked.
Well, we're recording on the unofficial Selection Monday. Selection Monday, legit for the women, as we literally moments ago found out that the Syracuse women will be playing South Dakota State for the second NCAA tournament in a row, because, of course, and possibly UConn, because of course, and also Selection Monday is in the day after we found out the men not only made the field, but avoided the first four and have a date with San Diego State, a different SDSU.
Yes, I have many thoughts about all this. We'll get into more, I think, the men stuff. Once we talk women, I know the women's basketball bracket was just released. Like Dan said, Syracuse is facing South Dakota State. A bit of a bummer there, because obviously we lost to the Jackrabbits. Is that what we're going
with? Yeah. We were the three seed 2 years ago. They were a six, and they knocked us off.
They are a
plucky at-large nine seed this year.
Yeah, and now this time around, nine seed, we'd have to face UConn again if we got to the next round. One bit of a wrinkle for now, and hopefully it doesn't become a problem. It was released today that Gino Auriemma, the Hall of Fame UConn coach, tested positive for COVID. Seems like he's isolating at home. We'll see what that means for him, for the UConn women.
Yeah, it sounds like there might be a chance he can rejoin the team, but I don't know what the timetable on that's going to be. So Hopefully everything is okay with him health-wise. Obviously, you don't want something like that to kind of mar the tournament, especially just because of all the concern between the men's tournament with the referees, which we just found out. Like in a couple of minutes before recording, six referees, including Teddy Valentine and Higgins and a Roger Ayers, all like went out to dinner and someone in that party got COVID. So the issues are mounting. And again, like I don't know why the NCAA couldn't have, you know, built in an extra week to try to get like some kind of actual quarantine period here instead of like rushing everyone to Indianapolis like 6 days before.
Because NCAA, that's why.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's only like, you know, they were the first major sporting event that had canceled last year and had literally a full year to identify and see what other leagues like the NBA did and like how to, you know, best practices. And instead, you know, just half measures, just, you know, like parts of decent ideas, but not like just fully finding the most foolproof way to do this. So knock on wood, hopefully we get through the tournament, because I am excited. I think like we actually had a really fun set of conference tournaments that helped, at least for me, kind of rejuvenate some interest heading into March here, and to have it sullied by COVID stuff, both like that which, you know, can be prevented, like referees going out to dinner when they're supposed to be in a bubble the first day. And not prevented, I assume Gino was not doing anything stupid. It's tough. So yeah, hopefully we just have a couple of rocky days and then we get into the play and everyone's actually bubbling and not going out to dinner when they're supposed to be bubbling, and we can get through this.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, realistically, like this is just the NCAA doing NCAA things. You know, on the one hand, smart thing, stopping things with teams pretty much immediately the second there was a bubble issue, having contact tracing within the jerseys to be able to measure from a time perspective exposure, but at the same time, like also not really bubbling around conference tournaments, not really bubbling in the lead up to the NCAA tournament. Like there's a host of issues here that have just not been addressed, and the NCAA is just going to continue to shrug at the problems this could present. I'm just hoping that once everybody's in Indianapolis, that there are no issues, that we don't have to see teams replaced, mostly because of what that does to sully the actual tournament results. I also just want to see Louisville snubbed permanently for this year, as everyone, you know, just can't leave well enough alone to have Syracuse men's basketball in the tournament. It's the fact that we were there instead of Louisville, despite the fact that there were several teams between us and Louisville when you look at the bubble. We'll get into that again. But
I really enjoyed all of that. Like, it wasn't everybody, but there was enough hand-wringing about that.
So much hand-wringing.
And like, very bizarre hand-wringing, too. Like,
just skipping four teams.
Really, yeah, I mean, if you
no,
say
five,
that...
No, five, five, according to the actual seating.
Yeah, it wasn't us. Who was the last team? Wichita? It was like
Wichita. Yeah, I think Wichita, Drake, UCLA, Michigan State. Like instead of those four, or Utah State, who we were also seated in front of. Nope, it's Louisville was left out because Syracuse got in.
It just not to like fully dive in on this, but I guess I'm going to. it's just funny that like the main argument's been is like, well, Louisville's resume is basically the same as Syracuse's, so why isn't Louisville in? When if that's your argument, you can also then make the argument, well, why would Louisville then be in instead of Syracuse if like it's just one or the other, which obviously was not the case when, you know, for the committee. But if like that's your if your big idea is Louisville's resume is the same as Syracuse's, therefore they should have picked Louisville, then the same argument can also be made that they should have just picked Syracuse, which they did. So it's not even a good argument from the place where it's coming. And that's before you get into the fact that five other teams made it before the Cardinals did. So just very dumb all around. I get like the comparison between made to their ACC schools and their rivals and whatnot, but just very lazy. And
just
also
typical
like,
sports journalism, like idiot group think, like when somebody comes up with like an idea, then like everybody just runs downhill with it because they realize it's getting clicks.
And also, Syracuse didn't lose multiple conference games by like 40 points and, ended the season like playing pretty good basketball and not pretty bad basketball. And obviously, like, if those aren't the most important things to you, like, I don't have a problem with someone saying that Louisville should be in over Syracuse. That's just an opinion. That's fine. But, like, to say that it's this unimpeachable idea because the two resumes are so similar just makes no sense on any level. So, yeah, always love that. But, you know, we're in, they're not. Boo-hoo. Sorry.
There was the other Yahoo article that said Louisville and Duke got snubbed. And I just found that to be... just the language around that. Just, I mean, Louisville, fine, whatever. But then, like, Duke is just...
Duke getting snubbed is just that you feel like Duke should be in every year no matter what.
Yeah.
And, like...
And the answer is no.
Should Kentucky have been in? Like, did Kentucky get snubbed? Like, it's... Duke just absolutely unless you're going by pure, like, KenPom, which is... I think Ken would tell you is not the way to make a tournament bracket, because it's a predictive efficiency metric. That's like the only way in which Duke was like one of the top at-large teams. Like, I think they were the top team out. But like, again, that's not what that's designed for. So Right. It just very, very stupid. A lot of people showing their ass, but it's, you know, it's March, so that's where we are.
This is March. Yeah, so we'll talk a little bit more about the women's draw. We'll get into some halftime. And then from there, we will head into a little more of a deep dive with men. I don't think Dan and I are going to do our sometimes usual going through the entire bracket. We might just do a condensed version of that to wrap up this week. But as mentioned, the women basically get a nice little house of horrors with UConn as the one once again. And if that wasn't enough of a repeat from previous tournaments, they'll face South Dakota State, whom they lost to a couple of years ago. Honestly, like I understand Coach Q's like falling short of some expectations here and there. And I think we'll be rightfully annoyed if they fail to get out of the first round. At the same time, like if they don't get out of the second round, I don't really think you can blame Q for that when SU is repeatedly put in UConn's region. The counter to that would be don't get seeded eighth and you won't be, which fair. but at the same time, at the same time, because everybody was lumped in, because everybody's in the same place this time, SU could have been put elsewhere. They just actively chose not to do that.
I was saying that we were talking about this before we hopped on the actual podcast. Like, I kind of get, I mean, I get the argument that, like, with the women's, like, I think they pay more attention to region than they do for the men's, even though that's also supposed to have a regional component because they want to make sure people are showing up and whatnot. I get it. So, like, that probably plays a pretty big factor into why we had UConn in our region twice. And I think before this, and then obviously, you know, us meeting in the finals did not have that same issue. It just kind of happened. But, yeah, this, like, if you're ever going to try to design a tournament with some matchups that you won't see normally, like this would have been the year since they're all in Texas. So yeah, just didn't love it. And it's not like I don't think like people are going to be extra deuced for the South Dakota State rematch. Like, it's just very strange and frustrating that we got this same thing that we had 2 years ago. Obviously the teams are a little different now. A lot of players for both sides, just based on my like 10 minutes of research on South Dakota State before we jumped on here, because we just found out that's who we were playing. They have some girls that were, you know, pretty big contributors in that game. Maya Selland, who was their leading scorer this year, dropped 17 in that game. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. It just seems very lazy. And I haven't gone through the whole bracket, so I don't know, like, the other, if this isn't just like an us issue. But
I mean, there is rationale. Like, I will say there is ration, like, as much as I'm annoyed here, if you don't want to move any teams from the line they're on, there is rationale here in the fact that if you look at the 8 and 9 seeds, Florida State and Wake Forest are both 9 seeds in other brackets. In NC State's bracket, you wouldn't put us there because you don't want to penalize either team with a very familiar opponent from the same conference in round 2. So if you, as much as I am just as annoyed as you are about this, there's really nowhere else to put Syracuse if you don't want to take a team off their line.
I feel like the 8 and 9s are effectively the same. Like, I know there's a difference, but there really isn't. Like, in terms of the functionality of the tournament, the 8 and 9 seed are basically the same thing. So, like, I get that if you, like, really want to stay, you know, hard and fast with it. But in order to, like, just try to shake it up a little bit more, and obviously all the ACC schools being on the 9 line, like you said, which I hadn't seen yet. I haven't seen the full bracket, or I've just pulled it up, but it does present some issues. But on the 8 line, you have Oklahoma State, you have where are we?
OK State is in Stanford's
South Florida region. Oregon, yeah. State, Washington State's a 9. Like, could have figured some things out here, even if you're bumping one of these teams up, or so dropping a team to a 9 seed, or dropping us to a 9 seed. Like, I don't know. I it's, again, it's the same thing. Like, the 8 and the 9 line are effectively the same line. So I wouldn't have had a huge problem if we had not dropped to the 9 so that we could play South Florida, who we haven't faced probably in years, I assume. I don't remember ever facing him in the postseason. Obviously, we faced them in the Big East for a while. But, yeah, just, you know, ultimately it's kind of a minor thing. But if South Dakota State comes out like a with their hair on fire, I'm sure we're going to really take it with aplomb, because this just seems to be how these things work out for us.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, you could potentially shuffle, you're right. I mean, the 8 and 9 line are effectively the same thing. You can shuffle these things around. It's like Stanford being a 1 with Oregon State and Washington State also on the 8 and 9 lines. That creates another issue. But yeah, realistically, you can figure this out if you want to. As much as I agree with all that, I do think the other thing you want to point to is Syracuse just stopped being on the 8 or 9 line.
That's fair.
two years ago, I think they were
3.
They were seated incorrectly. They were 3. I was saying more like on the UConn front. Like a couple of years ago, I felt like they were probably warranted a 6. They ended up an 8 here. Probably played themselves into an 8. Just because they just never strung together enough wins to make it happen. And even like some of their best wins were obviously by the skin of their teeth. I mean, overall, it is what it is. I probably, to be honest, want to trade places with Florida State right now, who maybe we would have traded places with if we hadn't beaten them, which, again, makes no sense. because yeah, you plug us in against Oregon State, maybe we beat them, and then we have to face still a tough South Carolina team, but a better matchup just in terms of not having to face UConn again.
Honestly, like, South Carolina might be a tougher team, but at least it wouldn't be the same thing that we always get.
Yeah.
I know we've played them somewhat recently, I think, but
yeah, we beat them in the 2016 run.
Yes.
It was like a random down. It was a random quote unquote down year for the Gamecocks.
It was like right before they really took off. Right. Like they were good already, but before like they really kind of jumped into that top tier of school. Yeah, so I mean, I guess we can't like complain that much. Like the team has played through like a pretty decent amount of adversity this year. Obviously, that's another thing with us in the tournament. We very rarely seem to be at 100% in terms of health. Obviously, I don't know if we've seen what Tiana's status is for the tournament, but I hopefully, you know, I think it seemed like she was being held out in the ACC's kind of by precaution. So hopefully we'll be close to 100%. And like the talent on this team, they can get things going. I don't know that they'll beat UConn, but like, you know, it wouldn't shock me if they were motivated and really handled business in South Dakota State and then like gave UConn a really tough run, especially if Gino's not coaching. Who knows if that'll do to that team, even though they look great, obviously, this year. But it's just tough. Like you just kind of wish, like, you know, they were on the 7 line or something, or where they could at least like. There's such a big difference between like the ones and twos most years in women's basketball. You just wish they were like kind of anywhere else, because that kind of opens up the door for you. Versus like being against the one seeds is so tough this early in the tournament. Or even like if it was like NC State down the road, like I think they would be pretty. You know, we've played NC State pretty tough this year, and NC State's great, but. I just think like the UConn thing we talked about a couple of weeks ago mentally is such a hurdle.
Yeah, I completely agree there. And you know what? Maybe SU decides to beat UConn and then we don't have to worry about this.
Oh, that'd be so glorious.
Oh, I'd love that.
I mean, I'd probably have, like, you know, I probably wouldn't talk to my dad for a week or two, but that's okay. Well, he'll get over it. I hope.
He's your dad ultimately, so it's kind of on him.
No, yeah, I wouldn't. I mean, I would talk a little bit of shit, but not like an obsessive amount. But I would have to talk some, because like he does like the underhanded thing where like he'll pretend like I'm like super upset, and he'll be like, oh, I don't want to bring it up, but you know, UConn beat Syracuse for the 700th time in a row. It's like, yeah, I know, I'm aware, Dad. Thanks.
Yeah, I think it's part of the father son agreement that you get like once a year, like shit talking rights. And he has every right to own you afterward, but realistically, like, you do have the right to talk shit once a year.
You'd hope. And like, I can't even do it with the men's, because he'll just be like, oh, I root for the Syracuse men. I'm like, yeah, but like, I know you still root for the UConn men too. And I think in his heart of hearts, he still roots for the UConn men first. I mean, it's just a longer term relationship there. But like, he can kind of hide behind that. The women, it's just not even close. So yeah, so we'll see. I would like to at some point in my life see the women beat UConn. It's like, obviously there are more sports things that like come a little bit ahead of it for me, but I do think I would really savor that moment if it came to pass. It's just hard to envision because of just how dominant they are, especially against us. So we shall see. Hopefully Q has something in his bag this weekend or whenever. When does the tournament start for us?
That date,
21st, is 21st. I'm so thrown off by everything, like the men's tournament starting on the men's first round starting on Friday is like, that's going to ruin my like ability to it
weekend.
It ruins having to play on Monday stinks, but or having games on Monday stinks, because the tournament I think is just so perfect the Thursday through Sunday, but the rhythms of it. Like, I just know how my life works during the NCAA tournament, really specifically. And for that to be shifted back a day really changed. Like, it just feels like it's going to really change a lot. So I don't love that. And also, like, the fact that they just, going back to our first point that we talked about here, the fact they basically delayed stuff a day versus delaying stuff like a week so that you could get people bubbled up and actually like cleared to play and stuff, or a week and a half, or just pushing this to like May or anything else, is really funny. Like, no, we delayed it a day. We're starting on Friday instead of Thursday. That'll clear up all the issues.
Yeah, it's just the galaxy brain kind of half measures that you can always count on from the NCAA.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
But you know, Dan, before we get into more like the men's team gripes and in general, just preview stuff, let's talk a little bit about beer. So, what have you been drinking lately?
I didn't have a huge week, beer wise, probably a little bit more during the tournament when I'm not working. I did have, some test rat by Grimm. I don't remember if I brought that up last week. And then, I went out for drinks, outside when it was nice a couple days ago here. Had some Duvel. I haven't had Duvel in a while. Duvel's always so delightful, coming from the bottle, just something you can kind of find everywhere, from the import section, but, always really enjoy it. Really crisp and full bodied. So shout out to Duvel.
Very nice. I was going to make a dad joke. Started from the bottle, now we're here, but...
Oh, God.
I won't. Anyway, on my end, I had Modern Times, some Oracolo. I know I mentioned that one. It was an Italian Pilsner. I had from Highland Park, More Moss. It was a coffee imperial stout. Really, really good. It was coffee and lavender. So really nice combo there. Had some more of that Star Metal Ultra from Modern Times that I mentioned. Actually, it was so good that I ordered more. Just a very, very good grapefruits Berliner Weiss. Had from Modern Times, Doors to Nowhere. It was an imperial pastry stout. It was coffee, vanilla, coconut, and almond. That was very, very good. Not barrel aged, which is a nice change up. Had from Modern Times again, because this beer membership just kind of ends up with me having a lot of Modern Times. And Bobcat Danger Scenario that I've mentioned before, was with them in Bottle Logic. It's a, again, fruit of Berliner Weiss, rhubarb, black raspberries, red raspberries, coconut, and vanilla. So really, really enjoyable beer there. And that was kind of my weekend. I was clearing out some room in the fridge for another another raft of beer coming for the weekend, and I might need it depending on what Syracuse men's basketball does.
As is always the case from this time.
Indeed. So talking Syracuse men's basketball, Dan, before we like dive into the bracket and the matchup with San Diego State, how'd you feel kind of in the immediate aftermath? And I guess like leading up to, like, did you feel, I know like you and I kind of like interact on Twitter always, obviously, but did you feel like we were in the field and out of the field, and like in the field, was it kind of like a zigzagging bit of emotions before this thing finally resolved itself?
Yeah. So heading in, like, we had Lunardi saying that we were like 95% to dead end, and like seemed like everyone had us pretty safely in the field. It seemed like the playing game slash like in the field of 64 was kind of 50-50. And then the first like rash of teams that came in, let me pull up the actual bracket.
Drake Wichita kind of.
Yeah, that was horrifying.
Threw me a bit. Utah State did too. Because I thought we were in definitively if Utah State got a bye. But it also didn't make sense based on the space of like how many teams needed to be like seated.
So it was the Wichita State Drake, and then VCU getting a 10, because I know they were a little bit speculative. And then it went over to the South, if I remember correctly, and we got Utah State right after. And then Vatek being a 10 and not like a 9 was scary. It just seemed like a lot of things were lined up to like make our resume look bad, slash a lot of spaces that could be us were getting taken. And then... I mean, as everyone I think on Twitter had a similar reaction, like us sliding into that 11 spot was kind of a shock. Like by that point, just because like there were so few spots where it seemed like we could be, and we didn't know. I don't know. It seemed pretty galling that Michigan State, UCLA would both be in a play-in game, and then also that Louisville would be out. Like it just seemed like this was a year where the selection committee really went. Dave, the successful mid-majors, even ones that like Drake like stalled out late in the year, has injuries, like a lot of credit. And I'm not opposed to that. I appreciate the mid-majors getting love, not at my own team's expense. So it really seemed like that was kind of the case here. And but we just happened to be the power conference team that kind of rode the wave at the end of the year and got more credit than a lot of these others, than the Michigan State's UCLA.
Maybe we even deserved role. Really.
Potentially. I think it's ironic. I think our show against UVA, I think our game against UVA had a bit, I think if we had lost that one more definitively, it would have been hairy. I think that was a coin flip. Like they hit a buzzer beater against us. I'm not to say they didn't deserve to win or anything, but like we played UVA to a complete stalemate and they had the last possession and won. I think that probably helped us more than you could definitively like know based on like how the numbers work and whatnot. It was like we really looked like in the last couple weeks of the season and the ACC tournament, we looked like a team that was a rock solid tournament team that had underachieved earlier in the year. And then I also think that UNC really coming to life late in the year helped. And then Georgetown, obviously going on their run, I think probably weirdly helped. Not to give Georgetown a lot of credit, but like they were like one of our only big non-conference wins in terms of like teams that were in the field. Buffalo obviously flamed out.
The committee still even said, like, I mean, I know this isn't supposed to be like a real measure, but they were like, yeah, Syracuse beat more teams in the field. Like
they do this all the time. That's like
that left like Louisville fans like apoplectic. Like, wait, what are you talking about?
Yeah, they literally said that we beat what, four teams in the field? And like yeah. I'm cool. I don't even know how I feel about that measure, but it's not it's supposed bad. To be a thing. At the same time,
it's worked
time,
in our like, favor before though. The 2016 team, yeah. Buffalo, Texas Southern, like I think Oakland, Michigan made it too. And like they even cited that as like another stupid measure that only works for us somehow.
But it's also like the last 10 games was a thing for a while. That was an official measure. And then I'd say, 10 years ago, maybe they eliminated it. But it's so hard to say that the last 10 games or just like the last bunch of games didn't help Syracuse because what we went like 7-3 in them or 8-2 or whatever it was. We just, even in the losses, we were competitive.
Aside, we were still like 6-4. It just felt like better because we've been so miserable over the last 10 games for like a decade now.
So like if they're not using those, like it's surprising because it does seem like those, we don't actually use these metrics anymore. They're not part of the discussion, still seem to like benefit us. So I'm not complaining. It's just, it's a little surprising given like what we've been told.
Yeah. No, the last 10 games. Yeah. 6-4. Including getting smoked by both Clemson and Duke, really just.
But then just, beating Clemson.
Yeah, tripping over ourselves in the last 10 minutes against Georgia Tech, and then losing on the buzzer beater to Virginia.
But then even Georgia Tech went on to win the ACC tournament, so yeah, it's like.
And yet got completely underseeded as a 9.
Yeah. Now, on the flip side, I will say San Diego State as a 6 is tough. San Diego State, I think, looks like a lot better than a 6 on paper. Like I would so much rather play Creighton. I would rather play Colorado.
Oh, I would love to play Creighton. And
I would rather play the corpses of Villanova. It's like
face any of those teams. Actually, I'd face all three of them at once, and I think we'd still find a way to win that game.
I think I would rather play
coached by Creighton.
I would maybe rather play Tennessee, who's the other 5. I think I would rather play all the 5s than San Diego State. So we got I'm still very glad we're not in the play-ins. But I think we got maybe the toughest 6. Just looking at the resume, it looks like more like a 4, honestly.
They won. Advanced metrics really favor them. They haven't lost in quite some time.
They're balanced. They have a solid offense, not great, but really good defense like they always do. They've won, 14 games in a row. They ran through a pretty good Mountain West. I was actually impressed by the Mountain West. I thought Utah State looked really good when I was watching those games. Way more than you'd ever imagine I would watch the Mountain West tournament just because all of them matter to us.
They also did a great job though of gaming the advanced metrics, and like I have to commend them on that. They're not the only conference that did this, but they did the like show up, play 2 games in 3 days thing.
The same thing that the A10 did, right?
Yeah, like a couple conferences did this.
Which ended up being very smart.
Yeah, very smart, because what it did was it created all these like high profile and quality like road games. And you also had all these teams, just these massive road resumes that other conferences couldn't really compete with. Including ours, really, when you think about it.
Yeah, so I think in a normal year, if this, and this is also a San Diego State team that would have been, what seed would they have been last year? They would have been like a top two or three seed?
Yeah, they would have been a two seed last year.
And probably. Obviously it's not the same exact team, but they've been like, I mean, they've been really good for a while now, going back to like the Kawhi Leonard teams. They've been excellent these last 2 years. So this is a really tough game. I've seen some people say this is like a good matchup for us. I don't really see it. Like, they're a good shooting team that rebounds really well. Like, I don't know what things like hurt us more than those two, but they're pretty high up. That isn't to say that we're like, you know, just under, we're not at the gym, but
well, yes. However, I will say they rebound well, but not like amazingly on offense, which is ideal for us. They are a good 3-point shooting team. But at the same time, like, they don't rely heavily on it. Like, when they need to shoot it, they will do so.
That's the one thing. They don't have a ton of guys. They have like three really reliable 3-point shooters, but right. They don't have the depth in terms of like, oh, all five guys can shoot the zones and I get really spread out. So totally. I do think,
and they don't hammer teams inside.
Yeah. They're kind of like a throwback offense, like a throwback college offense.
Yeah. Which that kind of benefits us in some ways. I mean, they've got size, but they're not like overly long. Like, they like realistically, they're not the team that's going to just kill us inside or outside necessarily. I mean, like you said, ultimately it comes down to a handful of guys. And you know, Matt Mitchell is one of those. And I know people were joking in the comments section on Monday, like, he loved Syracuse growing up and he, you know, wanted to be Carmelo. And like, that goes one of two ways. Either he like shrinks in the spotlight because of that, or he just murders us. Like, from the jump as a result.
Jordan Schakel also had some, like, Syracuse stuff. Like, they both, to at least some degree, rooted for Syracuse growing up. And it's just like, could we have not maybe dipped our toe and, like, seen what's going on here with these, like, highly successful four-year Mountain West players? Like,
Jim, did you watch the tapes?
Jim, you gotta go find out everyone that used to wear a head. Like, any recruit that wears a Mello headband should be on the list. And then you work from there. But, like, come on. We're going to run out of time. He's only going to be playing for so many more years. I think it could go both ways. I'm not like super, super scared, but I think I've seen a lot of like really bullishness where like
everyone's like way too sold on this upset.
I think part of it's just that we were so nervous about getting in that we're in. So we think it's just like house money. And like, obviously we have a recent history of that, but also like last time we were in the tournament, we got beat by Baylor. And I remember being a lot more confident about that Baylor game than I am about this one.
That said, we were pretty confident about it until, like, Frank Howard, we only knew about, like, 24 yes, hours in advance.
That's true. Wasn't even and 24. Really, it was, like, the night before, right?
Yeah, and, like, realistically, I think we would have won that game if Frank Howard played.
Yeah, it was a close game. What I understood is San Diego State is one of the slowest tempo teams per KenPom in the tournament, I think. They're, like, 298th in the country. And we're actually, like, a faster team than we've been in a while. Like, we're kind of mid-tempo, 138th. I do wonder if that plays into us, because doesn't really seem like a team that's going to try to get up the floor, get easy, open threes in transition, beat the zone down the court. At the other side, the zone's kind of leaky, so like it's not as big a deal now as it would be like in 2016. But if we get a decent version of the zone, if like Kadari's healthy and he's getting out on shooters, that could be beneficial, because I'd much rather see a team just like really try to work it. Because so many think that they can do it and just don't, especially teams that admit they haven't seen the zone all year, like San Diego State has admitted, versus teams that can like get up the court, find an open shooter and just like bomb you out that way. So, it's just like, you kind of make them work for it and you take your chances. So, that seems like the way that they'll probably attack, especially because they are kind of like a methodical offense. They kind of just like work their system. So that could go either way for us again, like everything else in this match.
Yeah. And honestly, like the big concern is probably just San Diego State is a very good defense. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, they've had a very good defense for a while now.
They grade up better than Virginia.
Yes, they actually do grade up better than Virginia.
It's actually crazy. Virginia's offense is better than their defense in terms of, I'm just, you know, just citing KenPom here, but a weird year.
Yeah, very weird year. That said, like Virginia, you know, Virginia was chucking threes for a decent amount of time. And I say chucking if only because I do feel like a lot of those shots weren't quality for stretches in the first half. I think in the second half, they were getting much better looks. And I think, like, you know, San Diego does have a lot of similarities just in terms of like baseline, what they are and what they can do. I think they're not going to shoot as many threes, at least on paper, as Virginia did. I think getting to some predictions before we talk about the region as a whole, I think SU gets this one. I think the lack of zone familiarity is definitely going to help us out. I think in general, like, Syracuse has figured something out, like this kind of tournament magic, as long as everybody's like relatively healthy in recent years. And I think the zone does flummox teams that don't necessarily have a ton of like experience with it, or coaches that have a ton of experience with it. So I've got Syracuse here, not by a ton. I think they managed to pull off, I'm going to say, a 71-67 win here. Tight, but a win nonetheless.
I'm going to go with San Diego State. I'm going to stay reserved. I'm going to kind of work the system. I'm going to take San Diego State 69-64.
Really not nice.
No, not nice. Hopefully I'm wrong. But yes, I just think they're really solid. I think they're underseeded. I think we're maybe overseeded. It just also, like, I don't know. I'm always scared of these teams that are play really within themselves.
Reasonable. But the rare disagreement here from Dan and I. Not that we always agree with one another, but I feel like usually we're when it comes to games like this, we typically do agree.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked at all if Syracuse.
No, same here.
I think this is I think this will be a pretty close game, especially because Syracuse is playing well. And if Buddy is going to be the SEC tournament Buddy, we are. That's, I mean, he was incredible in Greensboro. So we'll see.
King of Greensboro.
The King of Greensboro. Give him all the Denny's. I think if Buddy has a big moment on the NCAA tournament stage, we're going to get like, I was already starting to see it because he had those two games in the ACC. Like, people are really starting to key in on like, oh, Buddy Boeheim's like a real player, which obviously he's been since his freshman year. But I think we're going to see like real, oh God, like people are going to really dial up the, we have to hate this person because of who he is, which we've kind of expected to come for a while now. And his, not really fully gotten there.
Yeah, like parts of the ACC have, but like realistically, because he's like, is it not like he's streaky? He's like he's streaky in terms of he's still better. He's still good more often than he isn't. I do think that he's someone that doesn't necessarily stay on the national radar in terms of the disdain we figured would come his way. I actually feel like Cooney had this more. And maybe it's just because of how he started off so hot in his career. But yeah, like big stage Buddy Boeheim could very much become a thing, even with just one win in this tournament against San Diego
State. If Buddy drops like 25 on San Diego State, which is a primetime game, or yeah, it's a late night game, but it's the top announcer crew, the Nance crew. We're gonna see some real Buddy love and hate coming ahead of a potential matchup with West Virginia in round two, which would also be an interesting one. I actually don't mind that draw as much. Like, obviously, if you're playing a three seed, you're going to have a tough one and not dead ahead of ourselves. But, like, I actually think I'd rather play them than who are the other threes here? Kansas, who knows? I actually don't love Kansas this year, but I think I'd rather play West Virginia than Arkansas or Texas. So if we can get through San Diego State, I think also Boeheim, super familiar, and also a lot of success against Huggins. Like, it's not the worst matchup.
I'm not a big fan of it. I mean, ultimately, I think, and this is where we're kind of talking about like the wider region quick before we get into like the full tournament for a few. Gotta say, I think this run ends for Syracuse. In like, I personally, like revealing some of my bracket, I'm not picking SU to beat West Virginia just because I don't love the matchup that much. But I think the run ends in the Sweet 16 anyway, even if they got that far, just because Houston just presents all kinds of problems.
Houston is a tough stylistic matchup.
We'd have to hope that if we got that far, we'd have to hope the Cougars lost.
Which Clemson, I mean, Rutgers has not played well down the stretch. I think we would get Rutgers if we played them in the rematch. I think we'd beat them.
Yeah.
I think we'd, Clemson, we, you know, had the split with them. I think either of those teams could get Houston, but Houston's a much more they're just really
they've been really good all year.
They play, aside from like the one hiccup against Wichita State, like they just haven't really had like bad performances.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
I mean, the twos are always good, obviously, but like this year in particular, every two just seems like a horrifying matchup for Syracuse.
Oh yeah. I would absolutely not want to play Alabama. They are, they are a wagon.
Or no. Iowa.
Luka would eat us. I don't think Iowa, I think they've faltered, but I think a lot of that's the Big Ten has been so good this year until they fall apart and don't win the tournament again.
Garza would put 45 Garza to 20 would on
just absolutely, he'd foul out Marek in like 10 minutes. It would be just a horrendous matchup for us. Ohio State is really good. I think they actually would scare me the least of the twos, maybe them or Houston, but like, I don't want to play any of them.
Yeah. Hard pass on all these.
what we're saying is we don't want to play any of the two teams in the tournament, but we still want to win it.
Yeah. it's worked for us before.
It's true. If Middle Tennessee can pop up and start beating some teams for us and clear things out.
Morehead State, are you this year's Middle Tennessee? Let's go.
I haven't heard one thing about Morehead State. Like Middle Tennessee, even that year, there was like, oh, they're pretty good. They could give Michigan State some problems. Morehead State, I've not heard anything about. But like West Virginia also has a kind of suspect tournament record when they have high expectations. So, you know, anything can happen.
I suppose. So Dan, we're not going to go through the entire tournament like bit by bit, but what I would say is like, what's your Elite Eight like tentatively look like right now?
So I haven't filled out a full bracket yet. I've started, but I'm waiting on the the UVA Kansas situations to resolve themselves, and also just whatever else happens with COVID, and then also the liver situation at Michigan before I'm like committing to a bracket, but. If I, you know, am kind of working things out, let me pull up. I think I had Gonzaga, and I think I ended up with Iowa. It seems kind of lazy, but I think they have a pretty pretty workable run from that bottom of that region, even though I was like going into it not expecting to take Iowa that far. And then Gonzaga advancing. I actually have Baylor going out early. Who did I have in? I have Purdue. And I have, I believe, Arkansas. And I think I have Purdue going to the Final Four. I have Illinois. And I have Houston. And I have Illinois going. And then I have, Florida State and Alabama. And I have Alabama going to the Final Four. And then I have Illinois beating Gonzaga, tentatively.
All right. Not a ton of difference here. There's a little bit, though. In our region, I've got Illinois over Houston. I think ours ends up pretty chalky aside from us. I've got Ohio State over Baylor in the South, though at the same time, I definitely had myself convinced about Arkansas until like literally 4 hours ago. I think Arkansas, like, could be like long-term scary, but yeah, I talk myself out of them. I think this bracket could be upset city.
I think that's the most upset heavy. I have UNC beating Baylor. I think Baylor's out early. I didn't like what I saw from them late in the year.
I could see it. I think my big upsets, I got Winthrop in my Sweet 16.
I've seen people riding with that. Obviously Villanova just has, I mean, all kinds of issues with Gillespie being out. And Winthrop's like one of those programs, they pop up in the tournament every so often. They tend to be dangerous when they're there. They were obviously a really good team this year, 23 wins, like what are they, 23-1. So they're a legit team. I think the 12-5s are going to be kind of a bloodbath this year.
Oh, 100%. I think I pick all of them.
I only picked
two of them actually.
I'm bouncing between Colorado and Georgetown. like, honestly, the main reason I don't want to pick Georgetown is they're Georgetown. but Colorado, just that Oregon State game left such a bad taste in my mouth, in part because I thought that might pop our bubble, but also just because, like, you can't lay that kind of a, you know, Pac-12 championship. Like, come on, show
Pac-12
up.
Teams, like, yeah. Pac-12 teams have just been so god-awful.
They all choke every time. It's
I'm not going near them.
Yeah, I didn't take Oregon State over Tennessee because I don't think Oregon State's actually good.
No, they're not.
But I'm interested in Winthrop. I'm leaning Villanova, but I could go either way. And then I am absolutely 100% hammering UCSB. And I'm not alone. I'm not like, I know this is like the popular pick. Creighton against Georgetown.
What's the line in that in the Creighton UCSB game?
I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
You could tell me UCSB was a 12-point favorite, and I think I would take them. Like, Creighton looked so gutless in that game against Georgetown. Not a good team, Georgetown. A hot team, not a good team. Was up mostly like bad. 30 points on them. Like, come on. So, yeah, I couldn't pick UCSB fast enough. But we'll see where I go with the others. I have not finalized them. I usually rush to fill out a bracket, and this with all the uncertainty here, I just want to have the full, I know I can always change it, but I want to have the full spectrum of information available to me before I really commit to one on probably Friday morning or Thursday night.
Fair. Yeah, I know you and I have discussed. I'm very much a second guesser in general. So for me,
I like to just fill one out and write it. And that feels like a bad idea if like a lot of things can change. So I really want to like wait. But I started making one today, just getting some framework.
Yeah, I fill it out immediately, and then I play prove me wrong for the rest of like the next like 4 days, which is really stupid because it literally tells you that you were probably right initially, and then even if you weren't, but it tells you like I am unstoppable, unflappable at the beginning, and then God damn it, prove me wrong for the rest of this week and see if we can figure out how to make it not so.
And also, I mean, this all just about to say, like, there's no exact science here. Like, it's been more than proven that the picking a tournament, it has nothing to do with your expertise or how much college basketball you watch. I think I've won a couple brackets in my, like, however many years, 2 decades probably of being in pools. But there are more years than not where I, you know, watch a ton of college basketball, probably in the top percentile of whatever pool I'm in, and finish in, like, the 50th percentile. So, yeah, it's a crapshoot.
Honestly, the more I've gotten paid to write about college sports, the worse I've done at these.
Yeah, because you try to ascribe too much actual logic to the things that happen, which is just not how the tournament works as much as we want it to. But that's why it's great.
Yeah.
That's why Syracuse occasionally runs to the Final Four as like an 11 seed. So
honestly, when I made $0 writing about college sports, the last year I was making $0 writing about college sports, I ended up being 30-2 in round one. And then things have gone precipitously downhill from there. Since my children are home and will be entering the home very shortly, we'll wrap this up. The other brackets, regions, I guess, I had Zags over Iowa, Alabama over Michigan, and then Illinois over Gonzaga in the final game.
All right, yeah, Illinois, I feel bad because, like, Gonzaga is going to be the most trendy pick. Illinois is going to be the second, like, trendy pick. I just don't like any teams as much as those two. So, like, I know, like, you want to, you know, have some arbitrage and go against the drain. But also, like, if you do that and don't hit it, you're not going to win. So, yeah, I'm running with Illinois. I might change it to Gonzaga, but I think that's going to be my twosome, and I'm going to go in one of those two directions. They just seem like the two teams peaking at the right time, played really consistently. I love Illinois' duo of Dunsamnu and Coburn. Like, just a killer roster, really good bench, and then Gonzaga is just awesome. So, yeah, it's tough to bet against those two, especially with, like, Michigan looking suspect down the stretch and having the livers injury. Baylor really hasn't looked the same since their COVID pause. But we'll see. I mean, if there's going to be a crazy March Madness, like, A, we're due for one after missing it completely last year, and B, you know, all of the other factors outside of it kind of seem to indicate that. So we shall see. Hopefully the craziness benefits us once again, because it tends to be how it works.
Fingers crossed. All right, Dan, any parting shots?
No, hopefully we don't have any more incidents with referees going out to state dinners, and we can get this tournament in. I'm excited for it.
Agreed. I very much will be seeing all of you on the internet on Friday night, late for the East Coasters, not so much for me. It's also right in the middle of children's bedtime, though. So nice little hurdle tossed in for me there. In any case, that was
Dan. Almost time to grind some tape. Like, this, exactly. Come on, it's March.
Exactly. Honestly, this is going to be a weird week in general, even if no teams end up getting COVID absences. I just feel like it's going to be strange, but fun. That's my cue, though, as I hear cries in the distance. That was Dan. I'm John. Thank you, everybody, for listening to Troy News and Absolute Podcast. You rate, review, subscribe on iTunes, Megaphone, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, Overcast, wherever you listen to podcasts, and go Orange.